Welcome to Doctor's Orders with your host, Dr. Baker. Now let's join today's program.
Hello, everybody. Really excited to be here on this Worldwide Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining us, whether you're joining us on radio or whether you're joining us through our live stream. Thank you so much for being a part of this day with us. I'm really excited about the guest that we have today, which I will introduce here momentarily. But as you guys know, in our format on Wednesdays, we look at the global economy. We look at how things that happen internationally affect us as business owners here in the United States, you know, domestically speaking, and what does that mean for your business? And I submit to all of the listeners that regardless of how, you know, large you are as a company or what your product and service might be, that paying attention to the global economy, the global market, global connectivity, all of that has a lot to do with what you're doing as a business owner. You know, if you did not pay attention to the war in Russia versus Ukraine, you soon learned, you know, literally days after the war had begun, you learned at how, you know, our fuel would be impacted. And if our fuel is impacted, well, then what does that do if you're a transportation company here and you're transporting elderly or you're transporting, you know, students back and forth? If that was your business line, now all of a sudden your, you know, fuel cost went through the roof. And, you know, you might say, I'm not from Russia, I'm not in Ukraine, I don't do business there. But make no mistake about it, those events play a part in how you run your business and what that means. And that's just one of unlimited examples of how we need to pay attention to our global scale. And so today we're going to have Larry Hart on, representing the Global Chamber, and we're going to have a great dialogue just regarding some of the things that they're doing and then coupling that as to why it's important to integrate with global opportunity and be aware of the goings on so therefore you can participate. You know, last week we talked about, you know, some efforts with DJ the Money Coach, you know, over in Zanzibar, over in Africa, and I'm really excited about my trip that I'm taking to Africa in August, and as we go to look at resorts over there, one thing I can say is that the way we do business here in the United States has a profound impact on what happens in other places. And when I head over here, you know, I've been to Africa before, and one thing that I find unique is how not just our impact, but even our services, even our goods, our products are over there. First time I went to Africa was in the year 2000, and I've gone to two countries there. I went to Ivory Coast, which the natives call Cote d'Ivoire, and I've gone to Benin. And when I got there, you know, Nike shirts, and, you know, back then it was Qualcomm phones, and, you know, you look at, you know, all the things that we had, you know, here in the United States that was made popular, they had access to, even in some of the poorest areas, there was still access to some of these items. And it really hit me then. I mean, we're talking 22, 23 years ago. It hit me really hard when I saw that, you know, the things we do here matter, and they matter on such a scale that sometimes we think we might be insignificant, and we aren't. And if you create your business the right way, you grow it the right way, and you look at the right cues, you pay attention to the right metrics, you never know what can happen with your business, your product, and or your service. So I want you to keep that in mind as you're listening. Without further ado, I want to bring in on today's guest, Larry Hart from the Global Chamber. Larry, how are you doing? And thanks so much for joining us.
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I love what you said about stuff like the example you brought up about gas, Lean, the price of gas, the price of transportation. Man, that is something we can all relate to right there. Wow.
Well, it is. And, you know, it goes over our head when you see a war. But, you know, that matters. When you see that there are relationship breakdowns in China, well, your supply chain can be hampered based on that. Or if you see that there's a breakthrough in India, that may mean there might be a shift in your supply chain and or manufacturing. So all of those things become important to pay attention to. And it just amazes me, Larry, how much we just don't pay attention to those realities as business owners here in the States.
Yeah, but I would propose that I think the more successful ones do. They have a plan B. If it doesn't work with supplier A, who are you going to call? You know, one of my favorite stories about Abraham Lincoln is at the Republican convention, he was everybody's second choice. That's how he got nominated. Different people had a first choice. They want this guy or they want that guy. But everybody agreed Abraham Lincoln was the second choice. And there's a lesson there somewhere that says there's nothing wrong with, hey, appreciate you already have a good supplier and you're happy with your relationship. But should something go wrong, keep us in mind. There's some version of that, because that can be powerful, too.
Well, I think it is. And I think one thing, regarding the story you just mentioned on Abraham Lincoln is that he was second on everyone's ballot or everyone's choice. Well, what does that mean? That means everyone had to have an awareness of him and an experience of him in order to even be put in that position.
Yeah. And at the same time, they didn't like some of the other candidates, so there's something to be said to win the race, but there's also something to be said about saying, hey, if I'm second, I can live with that because I'm better than all those other guys.
Yeah, absolutely, which, most people don't have that take when it comes to second. You've got the old Ricky Bobby, in the movie Talladega Nights, if you're not first, you're last. And a lot of times we live that way. And, I tell business owners, and that actually forces me to a really good point. When I'm speaking with, let me call new business owners, especially startup founders, when they have an idea regarding something that they believe is going to disrupt an industry, you have a scenario where they oftentimes have these ideas of grandeur, and they want to go public, or their company's going to make $1 billion. And I always ask them, well, what's wrong if you make, $80,000, you raise a family, and you send your kids to college? Like, is that a problem?
Having your own business. Yeah.
But they don't oftentimes think of it that way. And so, therefore, you can be misplaced as it relates to how your business is. But I liking that type of success is coming second. Maybe you didn't win your market, but you performed well in your market, and it took care of all the goals that you were looking for in life. That's a high-level win, in my opinion.
Remember, people start their own business because, sure, they want to make money, but they also want the freedom, right? They want to be doing something they love. They want to be their own boss. They don't want to be dependent on other people, maybe. There are a lot of reasons to do their own business, to go into business for yourself, and that's worth remembering, let's face it.
Well, you made a funny point when you said they want freedom or they want to be their own boss. What they soon learn is that they don't have freedom because, that new boss of theirs is bossing them around, which is themselves. Is that in order to get the business to go, you're working a lot more hours than you ever anticipated, and that boss of yours is far more demanding than your previous one was.
Can be, for sure, and it brings up the whole coaching thing and the stuff, the work that you do and others do in the industry is, these people really have to be sure that they are bouncing ideas off of people like you that can coach and mentor and kind of steer the organization to help them through some of those tricky times and kind of keep their head right. I'm a big believer in the mental health of business people and trying to make sure that they're appreciating the moment that they're in. And don't get bogged down with the negativity, because that can be easy,
Absolutely. The negativity is always going to be around you, so therefore, how do you ward that off? And actually, I think that's a really good segue, because you ward it off by having good people around you, having a network that you can lean on, a great support system, understanding what you're doing. And I want to bring the listeners into your world. Tell us a little bit about the Global Chamber.
Sure thing. The Global Chamber was started a few years ago by a guy that had been doing international business for his whole career, 25 maybe years, and he had built up a network of business associates around the world. He lived in Tokyo for a while. He lived in some other countries and had traveled extensively around the world. And his revelation moment happened driving back from a networking event like we've all been to, whether it's a Chamber of Commerce thing or some trade association or whatever. A lot of these networking events go on, and his frustration kind of boiled over, this whole needle in a haystack thing. Your odds of doing business with somebody that you meet at one of these events is about the same as being struck by lightning. And his point, or the realization he came to, is, gosh, I've built up this network of people, a couple of hundred people strong around the world, and what if we just binded them together, united them, brought them together in such a way, if we just focused on helping one another, what would happen, right? What happens if a business were to come in and wants to expand to a foreign country they're not that familiar with, but maybe a supplier is there, or maybe a referral came from there. There's a new customer that has an office there or a presence there. And now there's this need to expand out of the United States or out of the city that you're in into another city in another country. And that can be tricky stuff if you don't know what they're doing. And so the Global Chamber was created to make that process easier. So with close to 500 now locations around the world, we can help a company expand from point A to point B probably as well as anybody. And the guy that started this, his name is Doug Brunke. And so Doug's vision was, we want to be this incredible association of business and nonprofit and government leaders that exist solely to help each other out with those expansion plans. And the other thing is, we work collaboratively with other organizations. It could be the Department of Commerce. We work all the time with them. It could be different trade associations of some sort, export associations. It could be a local chamber of commerce. And I ran a local chamber of commerce in Colorado for 8 years. So I know what that's like. We're building membership, but we existed to help people get connected within that geographical boundary. So I'm in Cincinnati now. There's a Cincinnati Chamber of Commerce. There's lots of smaller regional and local chambers of commerce around Cincinnati. But most of them exist to help each other meet other people in that general area. So if we were to take Cincinnati, just like any other city that has a chamber of commerce, they're primarily geared toward helping people meet each other within Cincinnati. But what the Global Chamber does is kind of flips that around and says, all right, that's great that you're in Cincinnati. Congratulations. We don't want you to leave Cincinnati. We want you to be involved with the local chambers of commerce there. But if you want to expand into another city, whether it's Chicago or some other city in the United States, or this is a worldwide call, it could be anywhere. Let's pick Brazil. Then what we can do at the Global Chamber is help that local company bring together a variety of resources to help them expand into another country with less risk, faster, with more support, with trusted connections, with a group of people that they can decide who they want to work with. And ultimately, you're building a team, right? Like, so any local business person, anybody that has their own business, it's going to come down to you want to hire people, right? So you're good at some stuff, but nobody's good at everything. And if you can bring on some people that are really good in areas that you're not so good in, collectively, you can make just about anything happen. So that's what it comes down to, Doctor, is A, you've got the ability to expand just about anywhere in the world, and we try to make that easier through resources, et cetera. And then B, we love collaborating with all sorts of other organizations to help make that happen so that in the end, our members are there, are inspired, they've got the resources, they're there to take advantage of all that stuff. And in the end, it's just this great association of people that exist to help each other out.
Well, there, you talked about quite a bit there that we need to unpack, because there's some very important aspects that I don't want one listener to miss. Is number one is the fear of doing business overseas, because you're uncertain of the land, you're uncertain of regulation. You know, you mentioned Brazil just as a random example. I've actually done work in Brazil actually a few times, and most recently, we were working with about 50 manufacturing companies there to help them with their overall business health. So I put them through an 11-week operation, if you will. It was a surgical procedure for us based on how we operate. But in that instance, they came to us looking for better ways to operate after COVID. And we did that, and we translated the entire thing in Portuguese. Now, in this case, I have the ability to do so because I have a Latino wing. And so having a Latino wing, and with the individuals inside of my hospital wing, speaking multiple romantic languages from Spanish to Portuguese, is a scenario where that became an easy offering for us. However, that's not an element or a resource that others have. So they might not even consider that that's an opportunity for them, when really all they need is a matchmaker. All they really need is an opportunity. All they need is to be in the room and find out that there's some similarities there, and the barriers to entry may not be as difficult as you might think that they are. Just to give an example to my audience, for me to provide that treatment took literally 2 minutes. Not 2 minutes, but 2 meetings. That same reality here might have taken 10. And that's because of all the things that we're used to doing in the U.S., from checks and balances, board, organizational checkoffs, those types of scrutiny, whereas sometimes that's not the case when you're overseas. You can get to a decision maker, or they make their decisions a little bit faster because of some of the autonomies that they have or less red tape, and you're making more dollars there than you would have here for the same service. And that's something I don't believe my listeners really understand or really know if they haven't done work internationally. So in that case, and there's about six things I want to point on that you talked about, but touch on how important it is to make those connections and have that network expand globally based on the work that you guys provide.
Yeah, you know how you have a company and most fall into one of two camps. You're either one of the idea people. You got these great ideas. You have this idea of making something, or you know what the reason for the company to exist is because you want to provide this service or this good. You want to make something and sell it. So you've got the idea to do that. But then the other side of the coin is you have all the doers, and they are the people that actually know how to manufacture this, or they know how to set up the company. They are the ones that are doing the work. They're not so much the idea person. So I happen to be one of the doers. I was a mayor for 8 years, and I can tell you, of the 100 things we did, let's just say, my ideas might have been one or two or three of them. It was almost always someone else's idea that we worked as a team, right, to get done. So I think I'd be here forever trying to think up some of these ideas. That's just not my skill set. But by God, you want to make something happen, I'll help you build a team. And on that team will be experts in, maybe real estate, legal, HR, sales, God knows, marketing and advertising and business development. And, you need all these skill sets to create a company and ultimately make a team. And what we've found, and I bet you'll agree with this, it's almost as easy to do business. If we're here in Cincinnati, where you and I are, it's almost as easy to do business in another city. I mentioned Chicago. Let's say Chicago. Chicago's like 300 miles away. I submit it's just about as easy to do business in Chicago as it is in Brazil, if you know the right people. And that's what really we specialize. We're very generalists, very much generalists. So we try to provide, and who do we know that are specialists in kind of specific areas that can help build that team out so that collectively they can make that happen, whether it's build a factory or just set up a sales team or find some new suppliers. It could be a lot of reasons. And I have a few examples we'll weave into the conversation here over the next few minutes. So,
yeah, I think that's fantastic and some really wonderful points that you made there. Talk to the audience a little bit about, when you have, and I want to go specific here, when you have a commodity, you've got something in the supply chain that needs to be manufactured. We know that we lean on international measures for our supply chain. I mean, if you're a simple apparel shop or you've got a T-shirt brand, it is very likely something's coming from Pakistan. It's very likely something's coming from China. Something's coming from India. That is a very real reality. Even if you're a micro or boutique business owner selling shirts out of the back of your trunk. So what does that then mean? Is that for large companies all the way down to the person that's just trying to figure this thing out, there will be some connectivity to it. And so based on how you all operate, is there any mismatching that goes on where, or matchmaking rather, any matchmaking that goes on that says, we're playing in, what is it now, Larry, 190 countries? How many countries are you guys in?
Yeah, we're probably in 150-ish countries, 120.
Okay, so 150, yep, so 150 countries. Right, so if we've got 150 countries that you have access to, is there any matchmaking that takes place when you've got someone overseas looking to do some supply work for a commodity, but someone here has a commodity but needs that back in supply chain? Does that behavior take place?
It does every day, and I'll give you an example. So there's a company we're working with called WageNate who's developed a this is very a common conversation right now in Cincinnati because we had a huge storm rip through here on Monday, and we still don't have power here in suburban Cincinnati. So, some people have generators, and the house behind us, there's a creek and some woods, but the house is 100 yards away. and I can hear their generator. It sounds like they're mowing the lawn constantly all day long. So they've got a generator, so they've got, you know, the air conditioning going in their house and refrigerator and freezer and whatever. Their whole house is working just fine. But the generator makes a lot of noise, and these guys have come up with a generator that is silent, number one, and secondly, it as it operates, it constantly recharges its own battery. It's really a cool technology, and so as a result, it doesn't have any wires. It's not plugged into anything. You can take it anywhere, and it'll provide power based on the size of the unit there. So in this case, they've got some manufacturing needs, and what we're able to do is put the plans out there to some manufacturers in Mexico, let's say. They're very interested in Mexico. But we could also throw it out to somebody in Asia, or we could just as easily throw it out to somebody in India or something, wherever this manufacturing is. We'd like to do it in the States here. There's some people looking at it here locally. The company's in Chicago, but we'd love to build it here in the Midwest somewhere. So we have provided them a handful of leads, really, with friendly manufacturers that are saying, hey, we'd love to help you build this thing. Ultimately, they need to make up, you know, in the millions of these, but, you know, we start off smaller than that and kind of make sure the prototypes are right and make sure everything works properly, let's face it. But that's a good example of, you know, we could supply them with a manufacturer in Hermosillo, Mexico, just as easily as we could in Chicago or Cincinnati. So,
well, you know, that becomes vitally important if you're a business and let's say you're an inventor. You know, so not every, you know, person that has a concept is a startup, in which we now live in a climate and an era where, you know, people put these titles on things that may not match. But, you know, good old invention. I invented something, I have a product, and I want to release my product to the world. Okay, great, but who's going to make that product? And so having just that knowledge base of what exists, I think another supplemental benefit is that you learn from how other people think. So if we're used to the same things here, we're, you know, and I think this is a part of how the Global Chamber, based on the story that you told and what I know of the Global Chamber, how it was birthed, is that sometimes in our networking events, our conferences, you see a lot of the same people, even when you travel at times. There's times I go to Atlanta or I go to Detroit, and I go to a conference and I'm like, well, heck, I know 42% of the people in the room. You know, because we've seen it, and so you're sharing some of the same ideas. Now all of a sudden you get, you know, individuals representing everywhere from Saudi Arabia to South Africa, and they're talking about things that maybe you had not heard before, but it's a different perspective that you now can bring to your business here that can be able to enhance you, create more market share. Talk to us a little bit about that phenomenon as it relates to how the light bulb goes off with some of these business owners that participate in your chamber and what they get out of some of the educational realities that the chamber offers.
I'm not sure I understand your question. Can you repeat that? You want to talk about the life cycle of the business through the not just the sales and setup process, but also the education and training and other research?
No. When I say education, I'm not saying formal education, just how people are information sharing from different countries because they're involved with the Global Chamber. So that awareness allows you to do business differently because you learned something from some other region that may not have been practiced here because we're recycling the same ideas here within our own circles.
Yeah, so what happens is we were talking about one of your associates in the Philippines, in Manila. So Ben Phillips is in the Philippines right now. Well, I introduced Ben to Colin. Colin Christie's been in the Philippines maybe 20 years, let's say. A guy who has been working for about 20 years and, you know, probably 20 years before that, you know, kind of a worldwide basis. But this guy's got massive amounts of experience. And he agreed to be the Global Chamber leader there in Manila. So his whole goal is to help companies from anywhere in the world expand into the Philippines. So what happens is when a company, and we're working with another company called AeroSeal. So AeroSeal, their whole mission is to remove the leakage in air ducts. So if you think of an air conditioner in the summer here, in a building, a hospital, it could be a hotel, an office building, you think of the miles of ductwork that there must be going from the units manufacturing the cold air, right? And then it moves through this ductwork and then comes out in your office, let's say. Well, there's leakage there where the seams come together and corners, and, you know, stuff just doesn't always fit perfectly. It loses 20 or 30% apparently. But they can come in and they can, with their process, they can fix that and guarantee over 95% strength. In other words, less than 5% leakage. So they're in about 30 countries now, but they joined the Global Chamber because there's some countries they've struggled to get into, and the Philippines was one of them. So I hooked their global sales person up with Colin in Manila. So they had a great talk. I helped facilitate that. And I think, you know, when you talk about these warm introductions or trusted connections or whatever, I think, Doctor, what we're saying is when you can get the buy-in from, his name is Court. So Court at AeroSeal and Colin in the Philippines, when you get the buy-in, in other words, hey, here's somebody they'd really like to talk to. Here's what we're trying to do. Can you help us out? It creates this triangle, right? So there's me, there's Court, and there's Colin. And three of us get on the phone, and because they've already agreed to the conversation, that's going to be a productive call. Hey, we're looking to expand in the Philippines. Here's what we do. You know, who do you know that could help us out? And you're specific, right? So here's what we're looking for. And when you can get a guy like Colin or Phil in Brazil with the guy's name that's helping us there, you know, same thing. He's been around the world. He's lived in Brazil for 10 or 20 years. He's got all kinds of connections. He's got these great life experiences that once you're part of the association, you have access to. So in some ways, it's probably similar to your company, right? So they're getting an instructor or a guide or a mentor or some sort of a coach that were their own doctor, right, in your world to treat what's ailing them. And I think when you can compare that to, you know, a coach when you're a child growing up, you know, you can all learn from other people. And I think the problem happens when you think you know it all and really you don't. And that's why you got to keep reaching out to people that know more than you, because there's always something to learn there from these mentors and coaches and people with vast amounts of experience. So that's really what we try to bring to the table. Let's help you expand with less risk, expand faster, more comfortably. You're going to sleep at night. And we're going to help you build the team to do that.
Well, I think when you're talking about spreading this knowledge that you have just out of the fact that you have the experience in a different place, you know, you had mentioned back during the time you're sitting in politics as mayor, how you were the doer and you had others that were creating the ideas. It's always amazing to me to see the muse or whatever the inspiration is for an idea to come to par. And a lot of times, ideas come out of necessity. You know, you've been trying to do something, you couldn't figure it out, and all of a sudden you think, what if we added this component, or what if we built this flipper tripper, or what if we provided that service? Well, looking at different companies around the world, they've had to use ingenuity to figure things out, just like we have here in the U.S. I think that information sharing amongst that trusted network becomes a valuable resource. What do you think about that?
Yeah, doesn't it? How could you not agree with that? I don't know that there's any other way to say it, but the resources are out there. And I think I've done enough consulting stuff and talked to people in companies that when you go into a company, one of my favorite stories is a consultant I used to work with, and he was approached by GM, like this is back in the 80s. So this is like 40 years ago or something. And he was one of the three finalists. And the other two finalists went in and had this system, right? Well, when you hire me, I'm going to go in and teach them how to do A, B, C, D, and as a result, they're going to do it better. What this consultant went in and said was, I don't know, I've never made a car, but I'd be willing to bet if we dig around in all these GM factories and sales lots and everything to do with GM, that the people know what needs to be improved. And if we collect those opinions and theories and ideas and suggestions, if we collect all that, I can help you sort through that, and then collectively we can make the best decisions we can. But I'm not going to tell you how to come in here and build a better car. I've never built a car. Well, he ended up getting that consulting contract because of that approach. And I've never forgotten that, because I think we've all probably seen people come in and say, hey, you need to do it this way. when in reality, maybe their way is working pretty well. It's 80% effective or something, and they just need that bump of up 10 or 20%. And they've got the ideas. They're the ones doing the work. So people have forgotten that, and I think that when we can keep that approach alive, there are people out there that agree. And if someone's got the idea, hey, I want to build this and sell a whole bunch of them to make $1 million, okay, but who's going to build it, and who's going to make it, and how are you going to distribute it, or are you going to store it, right? And who's going to sell it, and how are you going to get it to them? And there's so many questions that come into that. There's so much more than just the idea. And let's face it, the world is littered with lots of great ideas that just never materialized because they couldn't build the right team around that idea to make it a reality.
Well, I think in that case, and you mentioned something I think is really important, there's two things I want to touch on. One is opinions, which I want to get to after our station break. But number one is not so much having the ideas, but having the ability to problem solve. And there are other companies globally that have solved some problems for us that we didn't even know we had yet, even though they might be experiencing other problems. So even though they're sitting here trying to figure out, you know, A, B, and C, you're trying to figure out X, Y, and Z. And in that instance, that information sharing allows you guys to have a more, you know, comprehensive and complete look at how to tackle something in an industry or with a certain product or a commodity or a service. And I think that that's very valuable. We're going to pause here one moment. Today's show is brought to us by Bazemore Beard Oil. Bazemore Beard Oil is the only oil that will give you a multifaceted approach to taking care of your beard. It'll give you a healthier beard. It'll take care of your skin while also making sure that your beard smells great. It comes in three different fragrances, Flight, Nova, and Waves. You can get Bazemore Beard Oil right at the website on BazemoreProducts.com, and Bazemore is BazeMore Products.com. Once again, that's Bazemore Beard Oil, which can be found at BazemoreProducts.com. Go on there, order you a sample pack. Father's Day is coming up. Get you some beard oil if you want a more luscious, stronger, healthy-looking beard. So back to the Global Chamber here, Larry, and as we talk about opinions,
hey, before we dive in, this beard oil that you talk about, I've never heard of that, but I'm on the website already here because I'm kind of curious. I've never even heard of beard oil. What the heck is that? It's making it smell better, and does it also color it?
Well, it doesn't color it. However, Bazemore Beard Oil is an oil for all male types. So as you think about shampooing your hair and how it needs to be conditioned and moisturized, our face needs the exact same thing. And for the audience, I actually wear a beard, and so it's something that's, you know, kind of near and dear to me. But when you think about the fibers of your facial hair, how to take care of it, and face it, when you hug someone, the first thing they do is their face goes to your face. You want that to be a great experience. And so Bazemore Beard Oil brings you that product.
I love it. The new standard for a quality beard, they say. That's great stuff. All right, well, we appreciate their sponsorship.
Yep, absolutely. And so thanks for asking that, by the way. I know they'll be happy. So in the case of opinions, in your experience, walk me through kind of what do you see on a regular basis since you've been involved, you know, with the Global Chamber as it relates to probably the largest, I would say, request that a business is asking of the Global Chamber. Is it simply they want connections? Are they looking for you guys to actually make deals for them? You know, when they come to the Global Chamber, what are they actually asking for from the onset?
You know, I think they're either asking for offense or they're asking for defense. And that doesn't apply to a sport so much, but they're either trying to reach out or they're trying to bring people in, is what I mean by that offense and defensive mindset. So on offense, here's a company like AeroSeal that wants to expand globally. OneView is another company that I love up in Columbus. That is software. They're a longtime Microsoft partner. They want to provide their software to anybody in the world that uses Microsoft products. So their audience is anywhere. Another example of a defensive mindset might be, maybe this isn't such a good example, but Eyes Open International was started by a guy who got human trafficked from Mumbai, India to Cincinnati. So he was offered a job and a lucrative career and whatever, and when he and his family got here to Cincinnati, of all places, he was human trafficked, meaning forced labor, forced to live in a one-bedroom apartment. He had no money. They took his driver's license, or not driver's license, passport. They took his ID and money. He had nothing, and lived like that for a couple of years before he could finally escape. And there's much more to his story, but he has created this incredible nonprofit organization. Even though he's from India, we hooked him up with our associates in Mumbai, and he's now joined a board of directors there and whatever. So I guess his case might be he's trying to raise awareness. I think the one thing, maybe a better answer to your question, is most companies want to raise awareness on their thing, whether it's this nonprofit organization that Harold D'Souza is running, Eyes Open International, whether it's the generator thing that I shared earlier. You know, their clients are coming from Israel and in countries in South America, and it's crazy where interest can generate, because to me it doesn't really matter, because I said earlier we can do business in Brazil or some country just about as easily as we can do it in another city in America. Or AeroSeal trying to seal the air ducts, or OneView with their software. The one thing they all have in common, and this is a better answer, is they want to raise awareness on their thing. And there are so many ways to do that. And in the end, doctor, everybody, you know, they want a return on their investment. So if they can join the global chamber for, depending on the size of their company, a few hundred dollars or a few thousand dollars, that's a relatively low amount of money to have to pay to get the services that are provided and offered through the global chamber. And we're very, very proud of that. So there are thousands of members around the world. So when we want to raise awareness with any of those companies that we just mentioned, it's really a matter of having a conversation or even a group call with a few key people that can then help spread the word from there. Does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah, it really does. You know, because you know, you mentioned it earlier today about having local and regional chambers. I know from experience, whether it's my engagement with chambers or from other business owners that I've worked with, large and small, is that the opinion of the chamber varies so much. You know, I've got people, you know, from our local chambers that believe, or business owners that are part of local chambers here, that think that the chambers don't do really much. And they don't understand why anybody would ever have a membership. I've had that conversation at nauseam. And I've also had people say, well, heck, the chamber's been great for my business. And if I would not have been a member of that chamber, then, you know, I'm not sure I'd have been here today. And so it falls on both sides of the spectrum. But you and I both know we've been around long enough to know almost everything on the planet is that way. You know, you ask somebody to watch a movie, half the people like it, the other half the people hate it, right? So you've got that reality, and almost everything is as good as you make it in your own individual participation in it. And so from a curiosity standpoint, I know there's not a lot of people that said or that tell me that, you know, I want to immediately join a global chamber. Right, so there's a lot more word that has to get out regarding the global chamber.
Yeah, but in this, even heard of it. Yeah,
there's some people like, yeah, I haven't heard of it, but if they have, I was curious to what are they asking for? Because I know from a local standpoint, they go in and they think that the chamber is just going to provide them with leads every single day, and their business is going to flourish because they're a lead generator, and that's not necessarily the case. But I was wondering if that generalization still held true even with the global.
I think it does, because what happens is, and I bet we can all on the phone or on the radio and whoever else is listening through the internet, et cetera, probably one thing we can agree on is you get out of something what you put into it. So if someone joins a chamber or some other association and just kicks back and is expecting leads and potential business to just pour in, that's like opening a restaurant and doing no advertising and opening up the door and just waiting for people to walk in. Well, if nobody knows that you're there, how are they going to walk in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So get out of it what you put into it. And I used to ask people all the time when they would join we had a local chamber of commerce in the Denver area where I used to live, and when people would join, I would always ask them in the initial discussion, or, you know, as we get to know each other, it's like, look, who could we help you meet? Who could we introduce you to that could help your business? And you wouldn't believe some of the answers when they really look kind of sideways and they go, well, wait, let me think about that. Like, just tell me, who do you want to meet? Who could you meet? And we've heard all sorts of answers from members of Congress to local, you know, other cities. the mill mayors or economic development representatives. It could be a competing company, or, you know, if it's a restaurant, hey, I'd really like to meet the chef at this other restaurant, because I think together, if we combined it, we could do a fundraiser and raise awareness and whatever. One of my favorite events was when we worked with the YMCA to raise awareness for the YMCA, and we combined it with an automobile, like a car sales. They sold BMWs and Mercedes. So that was in Glendale, where I used to live. And we did a YMCA fundraising event at this BMW Mercedes dealership, where you could come in and test drive a car and talk to them about, you know, what would it take to get in one of these? What kind of used cars do you have? You know, all the questions that you might have that you could, that you've never really been able to ask, right? Because you go in to buy a car and sometimes people feel pressure to buy, or, you know, maybe they're just not comfortable. But we flipped that around and they provided maybe a dozen or so salespeople and other members of their organization just to hang out and have a drink or have something to eat. You know, there was food, there was a band playing, and just we created this event where their job was to mingle around and just talk to people about what it would take to drive one of these. Yeah, you ever thought about one of these? And no pressure, just awareness, strictly awareness. And, oh, by the way, we're here to help raise money for the Y. So I'm a big fan of, again, I mentioned that kind of triangle offense approach where we, the chamber, could put together an event with the YMCA and with this BMW Mercedes dealership, where it becomes a win-win-win event by working collectively and really together. And so that's the way I like to approach life in general. And when you ask, well, you get into it, can you get out of this thing, what you put into it? I think in this case, absolutely. But I would argue you could probably get that out of a local chamber or whatever. The key is to know what you want. And if you go in with that attitude, say, hey, I'd like to meet some people here. Who can you help me meet? Here's what we're trying to do. Who do you know that might be able to help us out? Maybe it's a partnership or a collaborative relationship of some kind. Or, I'm a big believer of, we all know people that you don't know, right? So the likelihood, as I said earlier, of doing business with someone in a networking event is really very small, because if you take a different approach, and this is what we used to teach, if you take a different approach and go into these events and think to yourself, all right, I'm going to go meet some people that I like, that we have something in common with, that I want to keep in touch with, build a relationship first, then it's easy to say, hey, here's what we're doing. Who do you know that might be able to help us out? And that question right there has really been the key driver of what makes this successful. And those that play that game by that kind of rule, with that mindset, are very successful without a doubt.
How do you guys go about organizing, all of these events? I go to a lot of networking events, I go to a lot of seminars, a lot of conferences, and even the local ones can be tough to put together. I get something almost every day saying, whether meet at this brewery for a networking event, or we'll be down, at one of the local banks to have a meeting there. How in the world do you guys orchestrate this to get the type of participation needed to make these relationships meaningful? No secret sauce, but just in generalities.
Just in generalities, yeah. Well, over time, the relationships grow. So if you remember back, when was it, a year ago, or whenever this was, that the port of L.A. and the port of Long Beach, these two gigantic shipping ports that are right next to each other in the Los Angeles area, they're both in L.A. County, but they kind of serve different purposes. But that's where a massive amount of stuff comes into the country. And for a while, they were kind of, was on the news, and there was like 100 cargo ships waiting in the ocean offshore trying to get in to the ports of L.A. and Long Beach. They couldn't. There wasn't enough capacity. There weren't enough workers. There weren't enough truckers. Whatever the reasons were, they couldn't do it. So we did a call, because they're a member of the Global Chamber. We just did a call with them, like, hey, can you explain what's going on here and what's the real problem? And this is stuff that you're probably not even going to get this kind of insight through the news. CNN or Fox News or Bloomberg or the BBC even did something like on what's going on here. That insight can be tricky to get. And so what happens over time is one person knows another, and now here we are 7 years into this deal, and it's just kind of grown organically because people find value in knowing people like that. And for a few thousand dollars, a group like that can be part of a Global Chamber. And for them, it works both ways. Hey, we want to get exposure about what we're doing. But hey, guess what? When there's a problem, maybe we're getting some bad press, we'd like to set the record straight and do a friendly, very conversational event. We've been using Zoom this entire time for 7 years, so we've got this great partnership with Zoom, and we can throw an event together that hundreds, if not thousands, of people will dial into to hear directly from the source kind of what's going on there. So when you look at the events on the Global Chamber, you'll find several events just about every day. So in any given month, there might be 50 events going on, maybe more. And the great thing is, once somebody's a member, they can join any event. You want to get, we call them meetups. So if you want to do a networking event in Tokyo, Japan, they do these meetup events, and you can just join. So if you're in Cincinnati or even wherever you are in the world, you want to know what's going on with a local place like Tokyo, like London. Who doesn't want to do business in London? Well, we can hook up with Katie in London, and through a conversation, if we explain what we're trying to do and who you'd like to meet, we can make those introductions happen. And so you can join any event from anywhere in the world once you're a member. And it's not uncommon for people to join a local networking event from somewhere else in the world because there's interest in expanding to that area. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it becomes important that that network is intricate because these introductions will be, the access will be, and that really is the key and the source of the strength of the Global Chamber, which is no different than other chambers. But I would say what makes this significantly different is that everyone's curiosity to not just the countries, but the various business types. And let me qualify my statement is that when I think about my local chamber, if I go to an event, I might, if I've been there involved for a number of years, I'm going to know those businesses except for the new businesses that just joined. You're going to have a very difficult time doing that in the Global Chamber. You know, because it's, the world is just, it's a small world, but it's a big world simultaneously, if that's making good sense to you.
Yeah, it depends where your focus is, though. You know, if you're a company here in Cincinnati that wants to expand and pick a city anywhere in the world, through those introductions, we can make that happen. And then, you know, you're able to get to know, just like anything, you know, when you think of going to high school or college, you can't know everybody in your grade or everybody in the school at one time. You join a new church. You know, you always start with a small group. You find something that you're passionate about, and you go get involved with that. And for the Global Chamber, it's kind of the same way. You know, if you take AeroSeal, again, that company that wanted to expand in the Philippines, among a few other places, once you make that introduction, now what Colin has done is said, all right, I know a handful of people. Let me throw it out there and see who's interested in talking to you. Well, he may throw it out to 5 or 10 people that he knows, and let's say 3 or 4 of them come back and they say, hey, we'd like to learn more about this stuff. Now, all of a sudden, you've got an audience of 3 or 4 people that, Court, this guy, can have a conversation with and talk them through the opportunity and what they're looking for and how a partnership would look and how they can make money and, you know, what the business would be like so that they can visualize what that relationship would look like from their point of view. And so that's really where I think we're most interested in helping companies, is to start with raising awareness in a new area and tapping into people that might be interested in somehow or another participating in helping that business. So it starts with literally one conversation that leads to a second, third, multiple conversations.
Well, you know, one thing that popped into my head as you were explaining that is, and correct me if I'm wrong in the position that I'm about to take, but I think one thing that may get lost is the national connections that you have by being a part of a Global Chamber. Because if I'm doing business in Ohio, but yet and still I want to get more familiarity on the West Coast, well, I'm not going to join the chamber in California to do that, but the Global Chamber could then shrink my world down here nationally as well. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, we do a lot of that. Because I'm based here, I'm one of 16 people around the world. There's 2 of us in America, so the other one is in Baltimore and Washington, D.C. Her name is Mi Zhang. And Mi Zhang and I kind of take companies that are interested in doing business in the USA, and if they're from another country, then we hook them up with the person in the city that they want to meet. So if it's LA or San Antonio or Chicago, Atlanta, we hook them up with the executive director in those areas so the 3 of us can have a conversation about what it is that they're trying to do. And then ultimately it still comes down to, hey, who do we know that can help them out? And so it almost sounds silly or whatever, but all we're trying to do is bring people together that have a shared passion around helping a company expand and do whatever it is that they want to do. And everybody's got different interests, and all these companies pop up and nonprofit organizations. This guy that got human trafficked is now telling his story around the world, and through his connections, really, it had nothing to do with us, but we're going to help promote a movie that Martin Sheen is helping produce that tells Harold's story about human trafficking, because it's crazy how common this is around the world, and it just doesn't get a lot of publicity. So there are a lot of ways to get involved in the global chamber, and just like it is with your business, you know, hey, we're a doctor. You go to a doctor for physical ailments, right? Well, who's your doctor for business ailments, right? What are you doing to help fix the thing that's wrong with your business? What are we doing to fix the thing that's wrong with your boss? So I love that analogy there, and I know you've been very successful in getting that out there in the world with kind of your kind of take on how to message that, which is a little different than what a lot of other people are doing, what most anybody is doing.
Well, I tell you what, even on this show, and I'll even share with the audience a little bit of my successes over the last 6 years since creating the concept, is that we receive validation overseas faster than I received my validation here domestically. And my international work helped catapult my domestic work. You know, one of my first patients came out of Australia, and we did work with them on a technology that then integrated into England through the English Premier Sport League, and using that as an opportunity to say, no, we're really good at what we do. We know what we're doing. I had a second patient that came out of Canada that had a vegan product, a vegan clothing product, and we helped build out their entire supply chain and the entire internal controls for their operation. And so having those two within the first 6 months of my existence was really important to show people we knew what we were doing.
Interesting. Yeah, isn't that funny how sometimes you connect with someone overseas somewhere? I love Australia, and that then becomes a client that helps you get new business and more business in another part of the world, which just shows you how small the world can be sometimes.
Well, it does. And, you know, and hopefully the listeners are understanding that having that opportunity made people in the Midwest look at me differently and say, well, hold up, then. And Doc was able to build a technology literally on the other side of the planet. Couldn't he just build one here where we live? And that answer is yes. But it took Australia to prove that I can get that done. Now, some people might say, well, you have to go through that drastic of a measure. Well, it wasn't drastic to me. It was actually, you know, low-hanging fruit because of the way I was introduced to that patient. Well, in this case, there could be a business owner out there right now that has some international opportunity that they're just unaware of because mentally they've never considered it. It wasn't even on the table for them, so therefore they don't know to ask the questions, they don't know to request anything, they just don't participate.
So interesting, isn't that great?
It really is, and so looking at a resource such as the Global Chamber now says maybe you should think about it. Maybe you should consider, depending on what you have and where you are as a business, but I tell you one thing, if you know, I have a guest coming on next week that I can't wait to bring on. I'm not going to steal any of his thunder, you know, unnecessarily, but they do work in a couple places overseas, but they're essentially are a monopoly where they are overseas. Well, that's much easier to perform when scarcity exists. You know, there's 6 secrets of persuasion. I won't give them all out to you all today, but one of them is scarcity. And when you're the only player doing something and you perfected your craft at it, you could just imagine how lucrative that can be. But if he was unwilling to move his business at some level overseas, then he wouldn't experience that. And that has bolstered his operation here in the States.
Gosh, great point. Yeah. See, you provide the specifics on how to do that, where I said it earlier, we're very much kind of generalists. We offer introductions and guidance and whatever, but when it comes into the specifics of running a business and doing the day-to-day operational stuff, that's where, you know, that's why you and I make a good partnership with the Global Chamber anyway, and, you know, the business efforts that you're doing through the Business Hospital Group, you know.
Well, you know, it's taking a holistic approach, and people use terms like holistic, comprehensive, widespread, but they really aren't. It's still very minimized. And so when we're looking at something here at the business hospital, I'm literally giving a physical exam, looking at you from top to bottom, in and around. Well, the global chamber is doing that same thing based on your connectivity, your education, and just the overall access that you need to have to continue to sustain. I would even argue that whether you do the business or not in any other country or any other city, just understanding what the heck is going on in your world. You know, there's technologies that exist in places that, you know, we're going to have to deal with. You know, the wealthiest man in the world isn't even from the United States of America, right? So you, and he is influencing us in so many different ways that, you know, just last week, you know, Elon Musk was talking about how, you know, if you're going to work for Tesla, you need to be in the office at a minimum of 40 hours. Well, there was a push from domestic CEOs saying 40-hour work week, that's what we're going to. Now, they might have already thought it, believed it, but they weren't saying it with the same force until he said something. And that's an international approach.
Big time. Yeah, big time. And a good example
to the point.
How we learn from different people and different cultures and different interests. And I can't tell you how many conversations we've had where you want to hear what's really going on in Ukraine. And, you know, we have a global chamber presence in Ukraine. And to hear from people, you know, on the street trying to keep a living going and keep their businesses up while these guys are, you know, from Russia are invading, that's pretty serious stuff. So
it is.
Examples of stuff like that. I mentioned the Port of L.A. and Long Beach earlier. Here's a hot topic, and here's some new insight that we'll throw together just for members to understand, all right, how do we work around this? You know, do you want to send your stuff to a different port? That's what a lot of members were able to do, and they had some suggestions on where to send it, which was really interesting. You know, you're not going to get some of that stuff on the news. So just really valuable insight from people that know what they're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. And it becomes vital as a business owner, as the smarter you want to become and running your business, because we know that things evolve and they evolve in ways that sometimes we're okay and we're comfortable with that evolution. And other times we're forced into making decisions that we're just completely uncertain of, but the world around us has put us in a position where we just have to deal with it. Well, my prescription to you listeners is that get ahead of it. Understand what's happening in our global economy and say, okay, I see that oil is now, you know, and fuel and renewable and sustainable energy is changing. Well, what the hey does that have to do with my business? Well, I can tell you one thing, I'm a truck driver. And so if I'm a truck driver, what does that mean to fuel? Because I own a truck. Or what does that have to do with battery technology? And should I invest in battery technology knowing that the world is now changing to autonomous cars? Now, it might sound like I'm talking tech, but I'm also talking worldview. I mean, heck, cryptocurrency is a worldview. How do I accept my payments? How am I making my contracts? Do I even understand crypto? Should it be Bitcoin? Should it be Ethereum? Well, I don't know what I don't know. And as a business owner, you need to know. Because the livelihood and the long-term sustainability of your company hinges on that. And that's the type of information you get with information sharing.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Well, today, everybody, fantastic show. So happy that Larry Hart from the Global Chamber has come to join us. Larry, real quick, how can someone get information from the Global Chamber?
Easy enough. Just like any, go to the website, globalchamber.org, globalchamber.org. And there's lots of information on there. My email is larry@globalchamber.org. That's easy enough. So send a note through there. That's the easiest way to get a hold of me. I'm on LinkedIn. There aren't too many Larry Harts, H-A-R-T-E, if you want to see more about me. And we'd love to hear from people. Let's face it, Dr. Baker, we've known each other, what, for a year or two or something now, and I just think you're a blast. So I really appreciate all the stuff you put together around this. Thank you.
Fantastic. Everybody, I hope your business gets healthier. We'll see you on tomorrow's edition for Trending Thursday.
Thank you for joining us for Doctor's Orders. You can contact Dr. Baker by phone at 1-855-249-4677, by email at info@drbaker.us. You can learn more on our website at www.drbaker.us. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. right here on 1320 AM, 103.9 FM, and on www.1320thevoice.com.